following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
People always ask me, what was your favorite spot? What was your favorite moment? What was your most memorable point? And it's really typified in this picture that you're seeing on the screen now. It's taken from what's called the City of David, another one of those outcroppings when David, probably from the hill that you're looking at, came and he surveyed the city, which was under the Jebusite rule, and he knew that's the place that God was giving him. Now living on the other side, probably from the perspective that you're looking, David one night, as he stood on that balcony, and maybe even on those buildings you see at the top right corner, not those actual buildings, but maybe from a vantage point like that, he looked down somewhere into that valley and he spied a beautiful woman, and you know the rest of the story. But that's David where he stood on his precipice. He stood up there when he should have been at war, fighting for his nation, and this became the downfall that David would regret for the rest of his life. David had fought the giant and he had won. But when he didn't defeat that evening, he did not defeat the giant of his own lust. And it brought him down. It brought him down so hard from his precipice. Now, David could have said no. He didn't say no. He could have said yes to God. He didn't say yes to God that night. He said yes to his passions. And while we were up here looking down, you can barely see it, but down at the bottom left corner, you see sort of a beige dash there, and that's a trail. And I'd never been on that trail, and I saw over here on the bottom right corner a staircase leading down to it. I checked to see if we could make it all the way down. And all of us walked down into that valley, and of course, that's the valley from which I took this picture. We walked in this valley, which is known as the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Stream would run through that. And it leads all the way up to the north, and not very far away from this precipice. And that precipice, in my opinion, is more likely the precipice that the devil brought Jesus to when he was tempting him. And he said, go ahead and jump from here. You know that God will send his angels and they'll catch you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus came back against the devil with the word of God. Please take note of that. The only way you win in temptation is to yield to the scriptures, yield to the Lord of the scriptures, yield to the word of God. He quoted back the scripture, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Jesus, from his precipice, he didn't plunge like David did from his. David dove into his temptation. Jesus stood against his temptation. To me, I didn't realize that was that close of a proximity between the precipice from which David fell and the precipice on which Jesus stood. And it just made me want to encourage our group to stand firm on your precipices of temptation. Because just like Jesus was tempted over and over again by the devil, you will be too, and so will I. Well, this was something that we saw when we got to Jerusalem, and I want to talk about this for just a little bit with you. It says, Italy, Jerusalem stands with you. Italy, Jerusalem stands with you. And that just really touched me when we saw a nation that was beginning to deal with their own approach to how are we going to handle this new disaster. And they are handling it. It's not comfortable for anybody. But they are handling it, and they believe they're making the right decisions, and I believe that our government officials are making the right decisions as well right now. Don't push back against it. Don't buck against it. God wants to use us in a particular way, and I'll talk about that. But this whole thing brings me back to where we were in our last study, which Jeff brought to us in John chapter 20. And if you got your Bible, I want to ask you to open it up, and let me talk with you for a few minutes about this last scene in the life of Jesus with his disciples, at least in the Gospel of John. John chapter 21, verses 20 through 22. And here's how it reads. I want to read it to you. Here, after Jesus has talked to Peter, and he said to him, Peter, here's what's going to be happening. You have always gone wherever you wanted to go when you were younger. You've worn what you wanted to wear. You've gone where you've wanted to go. But a time is coming when things will change and you'll have to go where you would rather not go. Speaking of the death by which he would glorify God. And listen to this. And then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one?" Let me start that again. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on Jesus' breast at supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, we know that that's John, he said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Oh, I've done that so many times, comparing where I am with where somebody else is, what I have with what somebody else has. And Jesus said to him, this is profound, he said, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" In other words, that's none of your business, Peter. And the last words on record that Jesus said to Peter, he said, "Peter, you follow me." You that know your Bible and you know your Jesus and Peter story in the Bible, you know that that was also the very first thing that Jesus said to Peter. He said from the boat, he said, "You follow me." And the last thing he said, "Peter, I'm going to keep this really simple. Nothing's changed. I'm the Lord, you're the servant, you follow me." You see, we live in a new reality, and it's a global reality. We didn't see this coming, and we don't know how long this COVID-19 virus pandemic is going to last, along with the pandemonium that comes along with it. And sometimes I think that's even worse than the pandemic itself, because sometimes how we respond to what's happening is even worse than what's happening. And that might even be true in this time. But how long will it last? We don't know. Our systems are upset and some being reset. The global economy is in upheaval right now. Some of you have lost your jobs. We had two hikers that got news on the job. Our two youngest ones, Katrina and Tanner, found out when they got back home that they weren't employed, at least for a time. And maybe you're in that same position. And we've been impacted here at Refuge. Look, well, you can't look around, but there's nobody here except you. The house is full because the Lord is with us. But I'm sitting here in an empty hall. And we love to call these halls, all of us do, all of us pastors, "Meet me in the sanctuary. Let's get ready. We'll pray in the sanctuary." And we call this hall, which is just a building with four walls and a roof and a floor, a sanctuary. We call these buildings churches. And we focus, so much of us, so many of us pastors over the years, including me, have focused on what we do in these halls. And that's fine. But that's been our reality up till now. We come into our halls, our sanctuaries, our fellowship halls, and we teach and we sing and we fellowship and we eat lots and lots, we eat. And we serve one another. At least we serve those who have made it in to the hall to gather with us here. And people are now saying, this is happening, what we're doing now is happening all over the world right now. Christians who can't gather. Alan was saying earlier, we're not going to be gathering for Good Friday. We're not going to be gathering in the hall or even in the amphitheaters, probably even down at the beach. We're not going to be gathering for our worship. And they say, disaster, disaster. Is it really? Is it a disaster? I know it's uncomfortable for some of us, but the question is, can we do this? Will Easter still be meaningful? I want to say this. Of course we can do this. And of course it will be meaningful. Gathering is absolutely important. And we will gather again. I believe there's no question about that. But let me say this. The gathering is important. I think it's even crucial. Birds of a feather, as they say, they flock together. It's going to happen. Christians find Christians. Buddhists find Buddhists. Musicians find musicians. When you come to town, you gather with people who are into what you're into. But gathering might be important, but going and loving is mandated by Jesus. And our new reality calls us to a renewed approach of love and kindness to one another. I've talked to you about Goldie Jacoby, who I've met. She's a Holocaust survivor, and she's not a believer. She's not a believer in God. She's not a believer in Christ. She's not looking for a coming Messiah. Here's what she said. She said, "Bill, my religion is kindness." And I told Goldie, "Well, you know what, Goldie? That's exactly what Jesus said our religion should become. If we love God, we should be loving people, and we should be, not should be, we must be kind to people." Jesus said, that's the visible part of our faith in him. Without love, we have no evidence that we have his life. And so if there's love and if there's kindness, if there's compassion, and then it shows. So maybe we're living in what I've called on social media a perfect time. I want to read this to you. I posted this about a week ago with a picture of the walls of Jerusalem. I said this: these are crazy times. These are frightening times for many people. But this is the perfect time for the church to be the church beyond our walls and our towers. We've often been more concerned with putting people in our pews and seats instead of following Jesus' command to put his people in the streets. Be purveyors of hope and joy, peace and life and love. This is the perfect time. And while we are looking around to see who we can help, let's take a moment to look up, because our redemption is drawing near. And when I look at I put this up. Let me go ahead and read through this. This is a different post. And it just said, in the middle of this March madness that we're in without the NCAA, be people who pray for peace, stand in hope, and walk in love. And I think that has to be our mandate at this time. The reason I showed you that picture of the walls of Jerusalem with the projection, Jesus is standing with Italy, is because it made me ask this question to myself: who am I standing with? Who am I encouraging at a time like this? This is the perfect time for us to show what we are made of, to share what we are filled with, whatever we're filled with by the Spirit of God, to be ready to pour out that love and that hope and that concern. So yes, we can do this, even with the restrictions that we live under right now. Christians have been Christians who exude the beauty of Christ in tougher times than we're going through right now, with even greater restrictions. How? Well, that's a great question. And the answer to the question is by doing exactly what Jesus told Peter to do. Follow me. He said, follow me where? Into a building? No, he said, just follow me wherever I go. And he was about to disappear. But he said, Peter, you're still going to follow me. You're going to follow my example. You're going to love the people that I would love. You're going to love the people that are there in the middle of your road. The world knows what we do inside of our buildings. At least they have a hunch on what we do. They've heard what we do. Probably most of the world has never been into one of our buildings. But now, and listen carefully, my Habibis, listen carefully. Now we get to show them, we get to let them see what we look like beyond our walls. As we're out in the same community, as we live through the same global crisis that we're all walking through together. Let me say this. How do you do it? Here's how you do it. You just follow Jesus. You follow him today, the rest of today, then get up tomorrow morning and follow him tomorrow. Stay in the Word of God. On your own. Read the scriptures like never before. Keep calling on the name of the Lord. Don't abandon prayer. Pray more. Joy and I are going to up our prayer and up our scripture intake during this time in our home, during our quarantine. Yes, I get out. I'm allowed to get out and get walks. I can't walk with you, but I can walk alone and I can shout a hello and a shalom to you, my Habibis, when we see each other across the street. But call on the Lord and lift your voice in praise to God. We sang that, you know, to lift our thanksgiving to God and keep trusting him. In Psalm 56, verse 3, it says, when I'm afraid, fill in the blank, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. And reach out and kind of pray what we just sang a moment ago as Michael was leading us. Lead me in your love to those around me. There's people around you that need his hope. Ask God to lead you there so that you can touch them. Let me put it like this. Don't disappear. Oh, I know you've got to be quarantined, but don't disappear. Be present. Somehow speak up and encourage your neighbor. Find out if somebody needs a what I'm going to call a quadruple D, D-D-D-D, a divine ding-dong ditch. Maybe you've got something and your neighbor needs some food or needs some milk or whatever, and you can go put it on their door, ring the bell, and shout God bless you if you're concerned about any, you know, transmission of this virus. But don't run away. Don't hide. Call, text. We're going to be using Zoom, one of the newer forms of communication with groups and tweet and just reach out to whoever you can. One story, and we're going to close here in just a moment. I was in the airport in JFK, and when our group got there, there was another plane going out of the same gate before us, and there was a woman there by the name of Sherry. I found out because about 10 minutes before she left, we got to talking, and she said, "I'm a midwife." Just volunteered it out of the blue. "I'm a traveling midwife." And I said, "Well, that's great. How long have you been doing that?" 41 years. And she said, "I've delivered 5,000 babies in my career, more than most doctors have." And we got to talking, and she's excited about what she does. I asked her some questions, and she said, "But now I have lung cancer." And she didn't seem overly frightened, but I knew that's why I was right there sitting by Sherry in the same same airport exit gate. And right before they came and they wheeled her in a wheelchair. She'd had a fall recently. And so they were about to wheel her away. And I said, "I've got to pray for her." And so I said, "Sherry, can I pray for you before you take off? I want to pray for this cancer." And so she reached out. I don't know that she was a Christian. She reached out and we just grabbed hands like that. And I just asked God to conquer the cancer and to show his great love for her in the name of Jesus. And maybe a little bit more. And you can do that. And yes, certainly, keep some hand sanitizer and you can wash your hands afterwards. But don't run away in fear. There's a couple of things that I want to read to you as I just encourage you to just keep following Jesus. Something that I found on my computer that was from the message I preached the last Sunday that I was here 3 weeks ago. And it talked about the church that Jesus builds. In Matthew 16 and John 13, the church that Jesus builds, he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." And he said in John 13, "If the church that I build loves one another, then the world will know that you're my disciples." It will be a powerful church. It will be a church that will come under satanic attack. No question it will happen. It's a church that Satan cannot destroy. Jesus said, "My church is indestructible." And the fourth thing was this: a church that's identified by our love for one another, and the line should go on, our love for one another and even for our enemies, and all those people that God has put into our life. A couple of verses I want to read with you. It says here in 1 John 4, verses 7 to 8, "Beloved, let's love one another. Still in the days of COVID-19, keep loving one another. For love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So keep loving one another. And this one, Luke 22, 31. This one came to mind because there is no question that we are in a time of sifting. We're finding out what's really inside of us, and some have been finding out that they're a little more empty than they thought they were, more empty than they'd like to be. It says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, and Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again," that's when Jesus caught up to him at the Sea of Galilee, he said, "then strengthen your brothers." Can I encourage you in this time of sifting, let the Lord use you to strengthen the people around you. Now, those are my words. But what I'm going to do is read to you a few words from Charles Spurgeon. They call him the Prince of Preachers, but I'll tell you, he was a champion during the cholera epidemics and other health threats during his time. And I want to read this to you. This is from 1855, during one of the first cholera outbreaks when he was a preacher. He said, "Who is the man that does not fear to die? I will tell you, the man that is a believer. Fear to die? Thank God I do not. The cholera may come again next summer. I pray God it may not. But if it does, it matters not to me. I will toil and visit the sick by night and by day until I drop. And if it takes me, sudden death is sudden glory." Now listen to this next one. This was in, it says Hug 12, which is a good thing to do for one another, but it should say August 12th, 1866. It was a sermon he called The Voice of Cholera. A new epidemic had broken out in the East End, and up to almost 6,000 people alone had died just in the East End of London. He said, "It seems to me that this disease is to a great extent in our own hands. and that if all men would take scrupulous care as to cleanliness, and if better dwellings were provided for the poor, and if overcrowding were effectually prevented, and if the water supply could be larger. Here he is making, you know, civic ideas or fronting civic ideas on if. And he says, and other sanitary improvements could be carried out, the disease most probably would not occur, or if it did visit us occasionally as a result of filth in other countries, a little hint that some of it came in from outside, it would be in a very mitigated form. The gospel has no quarrel with ventilation, in other words, with health measures, and the doctrines of grace have no dispute with chloride or lime, or chloride of lime. We preach repentance and faith, but we do not denounce whitewash. And much as we advocate holiness, we always have a good word for cleanliness and sobriety. But he would go on and say the core of it all that we all need is the gospel. So I thank God to be home at this place called Refuge. I do. Not just to be safe and sound, but to be engaged in our community. And I'm so thankful for the so many people, as Alan mentioned, that are serving people and praying and giving and studying and living out our faith. And I want to thank all of you for all that you're doing. I hear the stories about the way that you're reaching out, and I just applaud you for standing in faith and not disappearing in your faith. All the encouragement that you're giving other people. And Alan mentioned the need for finding ways to get food to people, and he hasn't even heard this yet. I got a call yesterday from a brother who went on a tour with us, and he said there is a stream of meals that's being prepared, and they just need a place to distribute them. It's probably going to be down at Saddleback and Mariners, and they're asking us if we want to be a point of distribution. So we're going to jump on that as much as we can. But these are going to be some of our best days ever, and I believe including Good Friday and Easter. So stay tuned for more information on that at refugefamily.com. But know this, and don't doubt this. Jesus is still our rock, and that rock is still standing. And he is the river of life, and that river is still flowing today for you. If you're thirsty to have a relationship with God, if you're hungry for the bread of life that Jesus Christ is, if your soul is empty, Jesus is ready to respond to you today and to fill you with his love and his life and to forgive your sins, because he is still that tree of life. He's still bearing the fruit of life and shelter. And Jesus, as we like to say here, is that he is still our refuge. And he's a refuge that does not fail, a refuge of hope and shelter. And when all systems fall around us, you need to know this, God will not fail. Can I hear a great big amen? Amen. I could go on and on and on, but right now it comes down to this. Our hope is Christ. And if you have found your hope in Jesus Christ and refuge in Jesus Christ, then this is the perfect time to share that hope with those who are shaken by this current pandemic and pandemonium. But because sooner or later, they're going to realize they need a refuge, and that refuge is him. I'm going to close with a song. Please, please sing it along with me. The words are going to be on the screen. And then I'll pray.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
Let's sing it again.
My God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you.
Raise your voice.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
Father in heaven, I pray that as you lead us out to follow you step by step, to soul by soul, that you will put in the middle of our road, Lord. Even if we're quarantined, the faces that come to mind, the names that come to mind, that we would turn them into moments of prayer and contact in some way by telephone or text or FaceTime. And Lord, help us even in these days of social distancing to be socially more closer than ever, even if physically we can't be. So help us, Father God, to be your church outside of these walls, to be very visible and very apparent, Lord, and very present, to touch people, to stand with somebody in these difficult days. I pray for the people of Refuge. I pray for the people of God all over the world right now, that in this global crisis, we would see a global outbreak of revival and new life, Father God, of multitudes all over the globe coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So give us your peace and give us your power, Lord, and give us direction as we just follow Jesus in his strong name. And everybody said, amen. Shalom, shalom, and ahava shalom. Love and peace to you. Sababa Habibis, my cool beloved. May God use you in these days. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.